Today revealed, the politics of housing and the intergenerational war. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analysis. Well, this post covering finance and property news. You can smell an election coming soon, as Australia's housing minister has declared that the Anthony Albanese government doesn't want house prices to fall, despite them being very unaffordable for the young. Claire O'Neill made the admission on Triple J's youth-orientated hack program recently when she was hit with a barrage of questions about the housing market being stacked against young people. We want to bring house price growth into something sustainable, so we're not trying to bring down house prices, she said. That prompted a surprised host, David McInnes, to ask, why don't you want to see house prices drop? If you're looking to get into the market, if you're a young person looking at what's ahead, you definitely want to see house prices come down. O'Neill rejects the argument, saying that maybe the view of young people is not the view of our government. Let's play the tape.
We want to bring house price growth into something sustainable. So we're not trying to bring down house prices, but we don't want to see some of the growth that we've seen in some parts of the country where you're getting double-digit increases in house prices year on year.
Why don't you want to be seeing house prices drop? Because if you're looking to get into the market, if you're a young person looking at what's ahead of you, you definitely want to see house prices come down.
Well, that may be the view of young people. It's not the view of our government. We want to see sustainable price growth. We want to see more houses come online. We want to see that rental vacancy rate go up a bit, because that will relieve pressure on renters. And we certainly want to see more homeowners. And the government has taken action on all of those pieces this week.
But Minister, if house prices don't come down, doesn't that mean that this system is stacked against young people, that it's just not going to work for them?
Sure. And Dave, we may have a difference of view about this. I have a strong view. Our government's policies are not going to reduce house prices. We want house prices to grow sustainably.
Such comments could alienate younger voters, with Labor under intense pressure from the Greens, which are campaigning to scrap negative gearing tax breaks for landlord investors. The Greens have been positioning as the party for renters, despite still supporting a big Australia high migration strategy. And they picked up three inner city seats in Brisbane at the last federal election in 2022 by campaigning on renters' rights. But baby boomer homeowners would rejoice at a surge in house prices. And you can take this as an overt signal that Labor is after their votes. Oh, and by the way, on average, politicians have more investment properties than the average Joe or Jane, and so they're also supporting their own wealth too. Now, McInnes countered the minister by suggesting the system is stacked against young people unless home prices fell. But O'Neill doubled down on the need for house prices to keep growing. Dave, we may have a difference of view about this. I have a strong view, she said. Our government's policies are not going to reduce house prices, and we want house prices to grow sustainably. Labor lost the 2019 election after vowing to scrap negative gearing for future purchases of existing investment properties and to halve the capital gains tax discount to 25%. Since then, Labor in government has focused on keeping middle-aged and older voters in marginal seats who own investment properties, but exposing them to a backlash from younger renters who would like to get into the housing market. Sure, late last year, Labor's Help to Buy scheme passed the Senate with support from the Greens, which will see taxpayers taking a 40% stake in new properties a first home buyer is purchasing. But frankly, that's small beer. And whilst politically significant, it will not help, and in reality will push prices still higher. It does make political sense, though, through the lens of wanting house prices to grow, quote, sustainably, unquote. Record high annual immigration levels, about 500,000, have continued to underpin house prices, despite the Reserve Bank of Australia raising interest rates 13 times in 2022 and 2023. And Dutton, on the other side of politics, appears to have walked back from stricter migration controls, refusing to stick with his 150,000 target that he announced back in May. So once again, politics are in play despite migration being unsustainably high. And data does keep rolling out showing how unsustainable the current housing market policy path is, with the Real Estate Institute of Australia's latest housing affordability report for September quarter showing average loan repayments amounted to 48.6% of the median family income of $2,501 a week. This, of course, mirrors my own analysis down at the postcode level, with many households now looking at close to half their income going to the cost of housing. This is the greatest proportion since the REIA began monitoring housing affordability in 1996. From July to September, the average mortgage loan repayment each month surged to $5,269, rising 1.6% over the quarter and 10.3% in the past 12 months. The REI president said those figures underscored the persistent challenges faced by families striving to enter the housing market or to manage their existing homes. Rising mortgage sizes, coupled with stagnant variable interest rates, continue to push affordability further out of reach. Despite the Reserve Bank of Australia maintaining the cash rate at 4.35% and a stable quarterly average standard variable interest rate of around 8.8%, the affordability crisis persists. The quarterly average three-year fixed interest rate saw a slight decrease of 0.5 percentage points to 6.3%, but this has done little to alleviate the mounting pressure on borrowers. And they said that families were facing persistent challenges trying to enter the housing market. The number of new loan commitments for first-time buyers fell by 3.9% compared to the previous quarter, but remained 9.4% higher year on year. However, the typical loan size for the first-time purchaser rose 0.8% over the quarter and 6.7% in the last 12 months to $536,561. And they added that the data revealed the need for targeted policy interventions to address housing supply and affordability issues. Without meaningful actions, homeownership will remain an increasingly elusive goal for many Australians, she said. Rent affordability also fell over the quarter, with the proportion of income needed to meet median rents increasing by 0.3 percentage points to 24.9%. It did decline in all states and territories except Victoria, Queensland, and the ACT. And the Real Estate Buyers Agency Association of Australia president said affordability underpinned market performance across capital cities in 2024 as the high interest rate environment continued to drag down borrowing capacity. Widespread affordability challenges, rising construction costs, as well as a high proportion of investors and first home buyers have also driven strong demand in these lower market value tiers. While affordability challenges persist throughout the year, with debt servicing ratios reaching record highs, continued population growth and a constrained supply of new housing have underpinned property prices. And as a result, housing affordability underpinned market performance across the year, but there were mixed performances across capital cities and regional markets through the year. Among the capital cities, Sydney experienced relatively subdued growth, with Melbourne recording a slight average decline in dwelling values. Affordability constraints and rising advertised stock levels were key factors contributing to softer conditions there, with Melbourne also impacted by government policy changes impacting on property market sentiment. While in Brisbane, Adelaide and Perth, they were top-performing capitals and achieved strong annual growth. Those cities benefited from a combination of affordability, strong demand and low inventory levels. Hobart's market remained largely flat, while Darwin stabilised after earlier declines and Canberra posted modest growth. And other analysis continues to show the problem is really, really stark. Melbourne is the only major capital city with house prices falling in the past year. With its median house price of $923,422, it's unaffordable for an average full-time worker on $100,000 a year. Now, it does still have affordable suburbs near the water, like Frankston North, with a midpoint of $591,214, and that's attainable for someone earning $91,000 following a 2.3% fall across Greater Melbourne in the year to November, as a state land tax turned off potential investors, according to CoreLogic. Even Brisbane is becoming increasingly unaffordable, with its median house price soaring by 11% over the year to $974,396. Affordable satellite cities like Ipswich, Logan and Caboolture are now slipping beyond the reach of average income earners as house prices surge by double-digit figures. And these, of course, are also high-stressed areas, as my latest surveys show. More suburbs have a midpoint price beyond $650,000, which would be attainable for an average income borrower with a 20% deposit. And Perth's median house prices have soared by a whopping 20.7% during the past year to 842,227, diminishing the availability of affordable houses. Adelaide's median house price has soared by 13.4% to 865,563, with traditionally affordable suburbs in the industrial north seeing the biggest growth. And Sydney is even more unaffordable than the rest of Australia, with a midpoint house price almost $1.5 million, or 15 times an average full-time salary before a 20% deposit is even factored in. Even apartments are very unaffordable at $865,422. Houses in outer suburbs of southwestern Sydney typically cost $1 million, which means only working couples can typically afford a home with a backyard. But of course, they pay through the nose for the tolls to get into the city. And Darwin is the only capital city where average income earners can buy a median priced house on their own, with a median point of about $580,000 in the cyclone prone tropical north of Australia. Now, mind you, political housing confusion is not just an Australian game. For example, in the UK, the Deputy Prime Minister and Housing Minister there, in a weekend interview, managed to say both that there was a housing shortage and no housing shortage, despite high migration, in the same interview. Again, it shows the political backflips that pollies are prepared to do. For truth, though, kudos to Adrian Orr, the New Zealand Reserve Bank governor, who said in an interview last week that the property market is actually in a real mess. Let's play that clip.
But during that time, the Reserve Bank was repeatedly warned that it could push up house prices and deepen inequality. Wasn't that exactly what happened?
Well, what happened was that we saved the economy from deep recession. Businesses stayed in action. The financial system remained resilient and robust. And we came out the other side of it with inflation at 7%, well below most of our global partners, and in a position where we have been able to take that inflation out. What people went and did with that money is a disappointment. You know, too many people just saw that as an opportunity to punt or stag the property market. Other people used the cash flow to stay in business or stay afloat as human beings. You know, this infatuation with the housing market is just too much driven by the media.
You blame the media for that, or people, you know, New Zealand seems to have an obsession with house prices.
We have
and responding to
obsession.
That, an obsession with the OCR and interest rates, right?
I can't open a newspaper or those old things with paper or go online or see TV news without some reference to house prices. As soon as we started talking about reducing the official cash rate, house prices came back in. I understand it. I don't blame the media. It's the structure of the New Zealand economy. You know, well over two-thirds of household wealth is equity in a home. And we see it far too much as a means of investment rather than just a place to live. So we have one of the most expensive housing markets in the OECD.
Can you imagine the RBA or senior politicians in Australia speaking such truth? No, because politics trumps housing policy rationality. High migration wins over bringing prices back under control, and boomers win over younger Australians once again. I'm afraid to say that housing is a political mess, and economically, therefore, it's unlikely that we're going to see house prices correct unless we get a significant economic downturn. It's still possible, but I do think that governments will try to keep pumping house prices higher to try and capture voters for the upcoming election. So I pity those younger and trying to get in because they're having to stretch higher and higher to do so, and unfortunately are laying the traps for financial insecurity for many years ahead. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultant standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.